What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey, everybody.
We are back for episode 94. Took a little break, a little time off, but we are back. And just wanted to share a couple things before we jump into this week's episode. For instance, like what we've been listening to as of late. We have been listening to, or not listening to, sorry, that's not the right word. What have we been watching? There you go. That's better. I have been listening to music, but that's neither here or there. We've been watching a bunch of different shows. For instance, I've been watching Chainsaw Man, a new anime that dropped. I want to say we're in the 3 weeks. 3 weeks it's been out. So it's like about three episodes, four episodes or whatever. And it's really good, but really disturbing. It's up my alley, you know, being a fan of horror and, you know, things of that nature. But it's a really silly anime at the same time. There, it's about, you know, humans and their war against demons and other types of monsters, and how one character who befriended a demon, like a demon dog, it looked like a Pokemon, but it had a chainsaw for a nose. It's wild stuff. And he was raised, or I don't want to spoil too much, but basically as a kid, his dad owed a lot of money. His dad died. That group of people who he owed money to was like, we need you to basically work for us. And so he would use this puppy demon chainsaw thing to fight monsters. They would pay him a certain amount based on the contracts that they would take. And then he would give most of the money to them. So he basically lived homeless for the most part. He lived in a shack and he ate like dry, you know, bread that he found or whatever the case may be. And that was it. That was his life. Up until a certain point when they double crossed him. And he ends up dying. This is not a spoiler. This is actually part of the first episode. And his animal, the pet dog or zombie, not zombie, demon dog or whatever, they merge and they become one entity. And he is now Chainsaw Man. And he's hired by this secret organization. Think about Men in Black, but for demons. And he has to work for them because they see him as, I guess, like a project. You know, they don't want to necessarily just, you know, to kill him because they're like, we could use this guy. But at the same time, we can't just, you know, let you go roaming around free. We got to keep tabs on you, that sort of thing. And so it's kind of like a trial period thing that's going on. And he's just happy because he gets to eat regular food. And what's the comedic bits about it is that he's a big kid. And so the smallest of things make him excited. The fact that he gets to have a whole sandwich as opposed to just a piece of bread is great. Like, that's the best thing ever. He's like, I'll do whatever you want if I can get like a can of soda. Like, it's sad, but it's mad funny. And he gets into a lot of, you know, a lot of mischief. And there's like other characters who are, you know, they have their own struggles or their own temptations and things like that. And they kind of clash in a hilarious way. And so, but I will say this, if you're not a fan of like gore, if you're not a fan of, you know, let me think, something that's might be close. Maybe Vampire Hunter D. You know, there's a whole scene where he splits a giant vampire in half and there's blood everywhere. If you're not a fan of that, you're probably not going to be a fan of this show. That said, the animation is amazing. They're doing a really good job and it's funny. I think it's a good show. Definitely check it out. It's been people have been raving about it on Twitter. The manga blew up like really fast. And so that's why we have this show. It is currently on Crunchyroll. Definitely go check that out. The other show I was watching, I actually was watching this before it came out for my review, Blockbuster, Netflix's Blockbuster show. It's about the last Blockbuster on Earth, essentially. And I thought this was going to be a dope show because the premise is so cool. Like, it's this thing where you have a reflection of things that were in the past. You know, this archaic brick and mortar store that's still somehow functional in a world where there's Netflix, right? Which is ironic being that it's on Netflix. And so I thought that this was going to be a really cool show. And then also the fact that, you know, the producer of, was it Brooklyn Nine-Nine was, you know, producing this show and stuff like that. It has Randall Park in it. So I'm thinking it's going to be funny. You know, JB Smoove is in it. You know, you take that information as you will. but you know, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be funny. At the very least, it's going to use the series is going to, you know, basically talk about a few things that are interesting to me. You know, like I said, old media versus new media, how people don't have, you know, like people still buy Blu-rays because they want to collect things, but for the most part, it's digital. Think people are moving towards that side of the fence. And so I'm like, oh, how do you operate a Blockbuster in this world? And they, I tell you, the 10 episodes, they spend like maybe 2 episodes on Blockbuster. The rest of it is on their relationships and just life. And it's not good because of it. Like the interesting premise, they don't build on that premise at all. There's a few episodes that shine because they're dealing with like trying to put together a, like a standee, and it, like they're, it's like a puzzle and they're having a hard time, or a celebrity who used to be a big kid, you know, child actor comes back to the store and gets drunk and ruins like the day or whatever. Like those type of incidents are really cool because it's based on a brick and mortar store like Blockbuster, and it has to do with them trying to survive. The other parts of the show, you know, there's some elements of like to be fair, there's some elements where they're like, we're a small business, we're trying to, you know, run things, even though we were part of this corporate, you know, we had this corporate backing, we no longer have that, so you have to pay rent type of stuff. That can happen anywhere. And so it's not special, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things I said in my review, it's actually on Netflix, on IGN, is that I said the premise is as sound as the question it proposes. What would it be like to work at the last Blockbuster on Earth? And then I said, apparently it's the same as working at any other brick and mortar store. You know, it's there's nothing like nostalgia only goes so far. And even there, it's failing because the nostalgic piece is just the fact that they're, you know, they have the Blockbuster card, or they're wearing blue, or there you can see them stacking shelves. But that's it. There's like random movie quotes. And then most of it is, you know, Randall Park's character having a crush on another character. You know, it's The Office, except for it's not a mockumentary. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's a sitcom, and it's just not good. It's, yeah. I'm not going to, you know, go too far deep into it, but like it was one of those things where I reviewed it and I really wanted to like it. And I wrote my review, gave it a score, sent it off to my editor. Right. And I was like, okay, when the embargo lifts, I want to see if I am the only person that feels this way. Maybe I'm tripping. You know, I still stand on my words, but maybe someone is able to pull something else out that I wasn't able to. And I looked at the reviews and I'm like, nope, most of you guys agree with me that it was ho-hum, mundane, forgettable. It's probably going to get canceled unless a lot of people just stream it like just nonstop. It's probably going to get canceled. And that's unfortunate. It's definitely hilarious. Unfortunate. Yeah, it's hilarious for the wrong reasons. Like, right. I'll tell you that. It is not good. And I feel kind of bad because it's one of those things you were rooting for. You know, it's like, oh, this is a dope idea. Like a show about the last Blockbuster? There's so many ways we could have ran with that.
Thought that, like, honestly, when I saw the I guess advert or whatever for it, I was thinking of the actual last Blockbuster that existed.
And exactly.
So I thought that maybe they were taking some, you know, stories and liberties from that store.
Right.
And making it interesting. But I mean, it's kind of sad to hear that they only spent like a couple of a little bit of time on this idea. Hey, how do you survive in a streaming world? And then the rest is just like BS.
It's there's a point where you literally forget that it's about Blockbuster. Like you just because again, like all of the stuff that they could kind of say it's about Blockbuster because they deal with, you know, financial strains in terms of running a small business. But that could, like I said, that could be anywhere. How does this pertain to Blockbuster being unique in the fact that, you know, you're trying to get people to rent movies when they can just stream them online? Like there's people who come into the store who already have Netflix. How do you battle that? You know, like how do you compete? And they'll spend a little bit of time kind of, you know, nudging around that idea, and then they just move on to something else. And it's like, no, like this was the interesting part. We don't really care about any of you in terms of your relationships because you're new. You know, it's like if you're watching Scrubs and the whole thing was about, you know, JD dating Elliot, but no doctor stuff at all, the show would have failed like really, really quick. You know what I'm saying? Like the interpersonal relationship stuff is very important, but you build on that based on your premise. So them being doctors, them being new doctors even, was a big selling point. And then dealing with real patient history, real, you know, diagnosis and stuff like that, that made the show way more interesting than it it is on paper. And then the fact that you have like really good chemistry, you have really dope cast, all that builds on it, and you have a phenomenal show. If you didn't know, Scrubs is one of my favorite shows. Just want to throw that out there. Anyways, you have a great show, but if it had, you can't have a bunch of doctors around and there's no patients. There's no one gets sick. There's no catastrophe, none of that stuff. You can't have that. And this is what Blockbuster did. There was literally two episodes where I was like, okay, now we're on Blockbuster. Here we go. And the rest was like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Maybe we should write an Errol show.
A word? Oh my goodness.
Just saying. I mean, if this one did bad, maybe we can make a better one and it can be about Errols. Because nobody remembers Errols.
They don't. Like that's nostalgia. You won't have nostalgia on your side. And I think that's the only thing, because when I posted it, you know, there's people who are rude or whatever, like in the comments. Like I had one person who was just like false. Like everything you said was false. They didn't see the show. But they found me on Twitter just to say false. Like everything I wrote was wrong, even though they hadn't seen the show yet. But beyond that, a lot of people were like, you know, I really want this to work because I remember going to Blockbuster. I remember shopping there. I remember it was a weekly thing. Friday night, we got our movie, we got our pizza, et cetera, et cetera. I felt the same way, y'all. I was like, dog. And mind you, I worked, like, granted, it's adjacent. It's not the same. But I worked at a GameStop. My brother worked at a Blockbuster. Like, we were in these stores a lot. You feel me? So I know what it's like. And I know like what goes on there. I know some of the backroom stuff that goes on there. And none of that was involved with this show. And I feel bad about it because this was one of those things where like I could see like people at Netflix and like, oh, this could be a thing. I could see this working out. And then you know. Not so much. So that's unfortunate, but that's what I've been watching as of late. I'm trying to catch up on some other shows now that I currently have nothing to review. I'm trying to catch up on some other stuff. I'm also watching real quick Gundam. I went back to Gundam, and for everybody, my huge anime fans out there, don't feel bad or don't look at me sideways. I never watched a full season of Gundam anywhere. Not by choice. Watching Toonami and Cartoon Network, they would never show the whole show. It would always be bits and pieces, and then another Gundam would come, or it would be freaking what's the show that was like a mishmash of two different shows. I can't remember the name.
Was it a Gundam show?
It wasn't a Gundam show. It was like Gundam. Macross.
Oh, Macross Plus.
Yes,
oh,
yeah. They would show that, and it's like, fam,
Robotech,
you know, they would show these shows and they would never let it finish. They would just show a little bit and then they would go, okay, now we got, apparently they got the license, we're gonna go with this Gundam series. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm gonna start here now. All right, cool. But I never got to finish, and so I feel like I know a lot and a very little at the same time. And so I went back and started watching Mobile Suit Gundam. So this, you know, this back in the day.
Yeah, and it's old. Real old.
It's hard, but not for the reasons you would think. It's difficult to watch. For instance, I like the animation. Yes. And this is kind of like a, you know, me being kind of an animation nerd, I guess. Like, I like the classic stylings. You can see pencil lines in certain scenes. It reminds me of, like, old Transformer cartoons or episodes or whatever. And there's a lot of care, even though it's not on the same level in terms of, you can see the skill more readily than what you can now. I think the skill is apparent now because the animation looks amazing. But in terms of like someone's hand in the animation, you can see it more with the older stuff. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all, but I'll spend all day breaking this down. But essentially, there's a lot of cool elements that are happening in Gundam that I really, really like. But the episodes are really stretched. Like, it lingers on things for way too long versus what it does today. And that's saying something. Me being a fan of One Piece, that says a lot, considering that show. So I have to watch like one episode a night if I do watch it. And then I'm like, all right, I'm done. Even if it lands on a cliffhanger, I'm like, all right, I gotta stop. Or I'm gonna fall asleep. Or, you know, I'm gonna miss something because this is just like watching a ship blow up. It's like, fam, this has been blowing up for 10 minutes. Like, can we move this along? Can we get to the next part? Like, you know, or they do a flashback of the ship blowing up. Someone's thinking about it. I'm like, we don't need to go back there. We just saw that. If we could just.
But yeah, they think they do because back then when they did TV, it was like based off of soap opera.
Facts, right? And then the fact that it also released weekly, and so, or yeah, you know, it didn't release as, you know, like streaming where I can watch the whole thing now. It was, you know, we got to remind you. But I feel like they do that too much.
Yeah, I agree.
And that kind of takes away from the, you know, you getting into the story. I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then we're like, oh, we're flat. All right, cool. Then I start looking at my phone.
Gundam is just full of flashbacks because that's
right.
All Gundam Wing was. I mean, like, so I know, so I've watched a bunch of the Gundams too. I don't even remember all the stuff I've watched, but what you were saying earlier. Mobile Suit Gundam, because that's like the first series, but the first movie was 0079, I believe.
Right.
And I remember I watched that. I remember the first time I watched it, I fell asleep. And then I watched it again, but they were like, the thing that started it all was this. And I remember watching it and being like, huh. I mean, I love the 70s, the art. I love the 70s yes. drawing. I love the round hair and all that stuff. It's just a lot of fun. And you know how they like make it a point to every time like a girl has a uniform, she's wearing a skirt over pants. It's just
right.
So ridiculous. But yeah, so I remember being like, I was into it, but I wasn't as committed, I guess, because I shouldn't say that. I was committed, but I didn't like love it.
Right.
And then right. I watch, because it's like 0079, and then it's like 0080, and then it's like 0083. And it's like, I mean, there's just a bunch. There's so many in between. And then it's Gundam Wing. And then it's Gundam MS. And then it's...
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I think that I've watched a bunch of them. But then I just fell off after a while. Because I didn't know the story that they were trying to tell anymore. I didn't get it.
Exactly. It's... And then there's like, you know, they jump around time, and there's parts yeah. that aren't even in the same universe. You know what I mean? Like,
it's an interesting show. It didn't happen. You're like, wait, I watched this show. And then you think you're like, okay, well, this happened because this happened 30 years ago. Or like, you know, if in 1979 this happened, then like, you know, this happened at this time. And it's like, no, they actually have nothing to do with each other. None of these people know each other. They're not in the same like Earth Sphere alliance. Right. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it can be hard to follow. And so but you know, there's a new one out, and I was like, you know what? Everyone's talking about it. So let me jump back and kind of get a refresher. And that's not required, obviously, yeah. but I feel like I need to keep my anime card. I feel like I need to watch certain stuff that I just couldn't finish. And I've watched plenty, but
yeah.
At the same time, I just like for personally, like me looking at me, I'm like, you need to watch this. And I'm like, I mean, I guess. I'm like, no, sir, you need to watch this. You know, just like I need to finish, was it Evangelion? No, what is it called?
Evangelion.
There you yeah. go. The name I can never say. I need to finish watching that. I keep stopping at a point and just never getting farther than that. I need to finish yeah. that so I could just be able to say I've done it. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like I have a better, like, historical, you know, things I can pull from to talk about anime and link and move things around in my brain. It's a whole process, people. Anywho,
yeah,
that's been my world for the past, you know, few weeks. You've been watching, was it House of the Dragon still, right?
Okay. So yes, I have completed my House of the Dragon. And you know, I know that I've trash talked House of the Dragon on here. And let me just say a couple of things. First of all, I just need to give my flowers to Emma D'Arcy. Girl, you my bestie. I might actually just want to go on a date, for real, because, like, I really do love her. the whole thing, what's your favorite drink? A Negroni Sfagliato with Prosecco in it. I love her. I just cannot. Ooh, stunning. I'm like, I can't with this woman. I adore everything about her. And I'm like, and she plays a great Rhaenyra. She really, really does.
Mm.
But, I mean... I have multiple feelings about House of the Dragon, and I know I've said them. I say them almost every week that we're on here, and we apologize for being off for a few weeks, guys. I've not been well. I've been very sick. So, you know, anyway, moving on. But I've said how I feel about how, you know, I'm not really a fan and I don't really love the show. And, you know, it does pick up for me. I think it got better. And yeah. but I still feel a certain way. And I'll just I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can. You have the book, the source material, and mind you, it's not my favorite book. Not just because of the way the story is told. I have no problem with the fact that the book is told from multiple standpoints. It's not like A Song of Ice and Fire, which is written very brilliantly. It is a book that is told from a historical standpoint from multiple people's perspectives, and they are historians. So you Right. have a person who says that they were involved in the story, like, so you have the king's fool, who he's writing his own scandalous books, you know, think Bridgerton and how they have the weekly letter, the weekly booklet that goes out, pamphlet.
Right.
Like, you've got him, you've got apparently, you know, one of the Targaryen daughters who turned into a prostitute who wrote her own little thing. And then you've got, that's a whole nother story. And then you've got the actual historians, like the maesters and, you know, the people who are at the Citadel and certain people who you would more respect, and they've written their accounts. And so they all kind of get put into this story. And so you can't take everything as truth, because not everybody was ever there when these things happen.
Right.
And I appreciate George Martin in this, because he's trying to tell you that, hey, the history that you may think you know of your own world that you exist in may not be factual, because there weren't people there. They didn't have cameras. Like I like to say in Rings of Power, people are like, how come somebody so-and-so couldn't talk to so-and-so? Well, the two cell phone towers hadn't been built yet. So anyway, that's what's going on here. You just don't have the, you know, not everybody's able to communicate. So the book is interesting in that respect, where, you know, stuff happens and you don't know it happens. There's a part where it's like, Prince Daemon's wife ends up dead, and you don't really know how she ends up dead, but people think Daemon did it, but you don't know that for fact. Whereas the show says, by the way, Daemon killed his wife, and they literally show him doing it. And so I have my issues with the show has decided that they are not going to leave things ambiguous, that they are going to take a hard line, a hard stance on things that happen. Instead of being book-like, where, you know, there's people who literally make their living right now on YouTube guessing things that are happening in Game of Thrones. I mean, I feel like I should join that group of people, because if they're going to make money literally by talking about somebody else's work, then why shouldn't I? Anyway, but I've felt a certain way about this show because maybe I'm just not really a fan of the way it's been adapted. I did feel like the first several episodes were very slow. I felt like they were having these repeat conversations that didn't need to be had. I felt like they dramatized certain events that didn't need to happen. Like, and you know, like it was very important for them to show this gruesome death scene with the birthing of the child in the first episode. And interestingly enough, that's not how it happens in the book. Like the person does die. You know, Rhaenyra's mother does die in childbirth, but she doesn't die like that. That's actually like Rhaenyra's great grandmother. That actually, it's not. It's Alyssa Velaryon is the one. Alyssa Velaryon, who is the mother of old King Jaehaerys, Jaehaerys the Consolator. His mother is the one that dies that way after she gives birth to, I believe, Jocelyn Baratheon, And I think the book has these things happen in a very important way for whatever reasons. And the show decided to take their liberties and do the things that they did. That's fine, because that they're allowed to do that. But I did feel like some of the choices that they made were interesting. And I also thought it was interesting to start the show where they started it, because I felt like the first several episodes were very slow. And we know that they were using this season to lead up to the most brutal, gruesome part of Targaryen history, which is the Dance of the Dragons. The thing is, the Dance of the Dragons is a very interesting time, even though it's kind of a short period of time, because it's a short period of war. And it's civil war in between the family killing each other and all that kind of stuff, and where all the dragons are killing each other and all that kind of stuff. And that's going to be great television. It's going to be very expensive. And so, you know, I guess they wanted to give you this season prior before anything real happens, but I I have a personal different opinion, and I that's why I think I felt like bored, and I felt like it was slow, and I'm like it just didn't feel like great television to me. However, if you are spending your time also watching Rings of Power, you probably think House of the Dragon is the best show ever created, because Rings of Power is that disappointing. We'll get there in a minute. But I want to know, I mean, I know that I've said bad things about the Dragon as the weeks have gone by, but it does end a lot better than it starts, if you ask me. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because you've got the more experienced actors closing out the show. I think they are better than the actors that you had in the beginning. And I don't know, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, you had different people work on different episodes, you know, their shooting schedule is different. So, you know, they may have been shooting one thing in like episode six that they shot first, and then something in episode two was actually shot last. Like, so there's a lot of things, you know, that are going on to make the show the way it is. But yeah, I think the season ends much stronger than I feel like the beginning gave us. So right. I'll give them, like, I mean, obviously I don't get paid to write reviews or to rate stuff, but if we're going to rate it, you know, one out of five, I'll give it 3 stars for
oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. And I'm being lenient here. I'm because normally I'm just mean and I just say things because like I feel I'm not mean. No, I just feel a certain type of way. And just because like, the way I imagine certain things in my head and the way that I feel like certain characters could be developed. And you know me, Kenny, you know how passionate I am in character development. That's a huge thing for me.
Right.
Character development is so important to me, and I can watch certain things and I can be like, this is an amazing character. And this is also why we've talked about like why I like certain villains, because typically they are more multi-layered than other characters. And I love deep characters. So I was, since I love character development and I love character-driven story, i.e. Arcane, I was kind of irritated at the way that they were characterizing some of these characters and the way that they have a direction they want the story to go. And I'm like, use your characters to make stuff happen then, and stop being basic and stop being annoying and stop being slow. Because like there's literally a whole episode where I'm like, nothing's happening and you guys are just arguing with each other over some nonsense, and it's not even as good as it is in the book, because the book is dramatic. Like, it's just full of drama. Remember we had what's his face on, and he was like, oh, it's just straight drama. Remember?
Oh,
and,
Dre, yeah.
Yeah, we had Dre on, and I'm like, it's so, you're right. The book is full of drama. The entire marriage between King Jaehaerys and Queen Alysanne is amazing. They are married for so long. They live such a long time. They have the most dramatic lives. They outlive all of their children. It's right. Insane. They had like 18 children and they literally outlived all of them. And the way their children were behaving, like I said, one runs off to be a prostitute. Like, what? And like, it's just, there's so many things that happen and it's so good. Like, you have the king and the queen arguing with each other over stuff, the kids being like, you know, these are Targaryen teenagers. I think that would have been interesting. And personally, I would have loved to see the show adapted in more of like a rock star way. I would have loved to see the show not copy Game of Thrones. I would have loved for it to be much more rock star in it, like kind of in the vein of Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
And I don't mean like modern. I didn't want them walking around in Tommy Bahama shirts and guns. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that I would have preferred narration, because there's a lot that people are not understanding and people don't get. And this whole thing with, you know, people going back and forth. Well, the books, this is what happens in the books. Dude, this is television and they don't care shit about the books. Like, they don't care. So when you leave these hanging things open and people are like, oh, well, you know what happened in the book? I'm like, if they cared about what happened in the book, seriously, then they wouldn't have changed, you know, this person's birth, or they wouldn't have changed this character's age, or they wouldn't have made this, they would have given these characters their proper, like, characterization instead of creating something completely new. So
It's definitely difficult. Yeah. I mean, because you want to balance some expectation in terms of the people who have read the books, and also balance what can and cannot work for TV,
right?
And then make that still compelling. And so if you if you make, because like little changes, people are like, this is cool because this is TV, so you kind of have to skip this or move this around. Even the Lord of the Rings films, which are great, had to cut, chop up, move around. Exactly. But they're great. If you can't do that, though, if you can't make the material your own in a way that is, you know, pleasing because of the medium that you're using, then that's kind of rough. And we saw that with the original Game of Thrones. Like when they were sticking to the books, for the most part, they did make some changes, but for the most part, it was like, oh, this is good. This is good stuff.
It's better than the book. Oh, wow.
Right. When they had to, when they had to adapt and make their own, that's when things fell apart. And so I think like with this, the way you're talking is like, is they're doing a little bit of both. Like we're trying to change things and make it move in a certain way.
Yeah.
But we also remember that Game of Thrones was a real big seller for HBO. And so we got to move in that kind of pacing. But when you have, you don't have the overarching threat of, you know, like winter, you know, you don't really have that to go on. So it's like, oh, these are just old people arguing.
and these are some of the things that that makes it annoying, because it's like, you're right, the A Song of Ice and Fire is all about the prophecy. It's all about having the Night's King. I mean, because honestly what they did in the show is weird, but like all about having Azor Ahai reborn and you know, this Night's King who could possibly be a Stark or could possibly be Euron Greyjoy or could possibly be Jon Snow. You know, like there's just so many things. That's what that was supposed to be about. This story about the Targaryens is supposed to be a,
you mean just contained, tied to this particular,
contained story. I mean, yes, it ties to the bigger story, but it is very interestingly self-contained, because this is just one of the smaller worlds in the bigger world.
Right.
And this is talking about things that happened in Westeros that destroyed the Targaryen family and their dragons. Not all of the dragons, obviously. There's another story about that, because, you know, the Maesters and all that nonsense. But I'm just saying that I feel like the story could have been told in a really cool way instead of just telling it in the way, the Game of Thrones way. It could have been really awesome, and it could have been, there could have been much more drama and humor. And I'm not talking about a studio audience and laugh tracks, but what I am saying is that there is a lot of humor stuck, and George Martin's a funny guy. There's a lot of humor and horror stuck into these stories. And so, you know, why not try it? Try telling the story in a different way, because I felt like that would have been a lot catchier. It would have been so much catchier than this just typical, I'm going to fly on a dragon and, you know, my dragon is going to Dracarys you. Like, and that's how I feel. Like, I really do. It's just like sigh. Like, it was more of the same, but it wasn't as good as
the other. It just makes you remember the stuff that was good. I totally get that. It goes back to what I was saying about the blockbuster. It's the word is derivative. That's the word we're looking for. It's derivative, and derivative could be okay if done with a unique spin. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but just you think about a lot of the ideas that we have are basically old ideas that have been retrofitted for whoever's vision. And so you're not going to have anything totally new, but you can change it to the point where, yo, this is fresh. This is what's happening or on paper is derivative, but what we actually are seeing or witnessing on TV, because it's a visual medium, more so. But that doesn't seem to be the case, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they get together. I'm because they've already greenlit another season. So
they did. And I just heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that maybe they're not, because they had like six shows, and we talked about this, I think, that they had a bunch of shows that they were trying to get. They were in production, but you know, not all of them are going to get greenlit. But apparently the Sea Snake was supposed to get greenlit, and that's the Corlys Velaryon story. And it was like, okay, you know, it's cool because it's fucking, it's Corlys Velaryon. But like, I, again, I'm still disappointed in the way that they adapted Corlys. I think that they deviated too much in, like, I've noticed in this show that they decided to give story where story didn't need to be given. And it's annoying because it's like, why did you guys focus an entire episode to this? Why did you do all of these extra things? And I get it, you're doing it because it gave you action scenes and it, you know, and it gave you some viewership because this was cool or something, but you're not driving the story in the right direction because you are giving more fluff to something that was like simply stated, that the source material gave you something that was simply stated. And it was just like, not just use your imagination, but it was like, hey, this is what was stated. Let's just go with that. But they just added more stuff. And it's like, I felt like you guys are destroying the person that the sea snake is. If you read the book, you'd be like, damn, this mofo is cool as hell. By the time I'm at the end of the show, I'm like, he's annoying. He's annoying. And remember, we were talking with Dre, and I said, don't you love him in the book? And he's like, yeah. I said, do you like him in the show? The way that they're characterizing him as this like greedy, power grabbing, power hungry guy. And I'm like, even though you may catch that in the book, you may be like, hey, this guy's gone on 9 voyages to places that no one else has. And every time he came back to Westeros richer and richer and richer. And that's great that he was this person who made his family as rich. All of Corlys Velaryon's wealth is his own. It's not just because he was born into the Velaryon family. It's right. Because this man went out and made his wealth. And I think that that is an important characteristic of him because he faced so much stuff while he was on his voyages. Yay, woohoo, he even brought back elephants. They all died. But, you know, he tried. he tried to integrate the flora and fauna of Westeros.
Not Babar.
Oh my god, did you hear about the elephant that just had a baby and didn't know she was pregnant?
I did not.
Like, it was apparently, side note everyone, it was I shouldn't say she didn't know she was pregnant, but she gave birth and literally like the baby just falls out, and then all of the elephants around got scared because they didn't know she was pregnant or they didn't know she was about to pop. And then they just run, and then she runs too, and there's just a baby elephant just like splat on the ground, and they all ran away.
That's wild in more ways than one.
It's like, what?
That is
and then
wild.
They come back. It's like, oh, I had a baby, and it's all caught on film. Apparently, that's funny. So anyway,
I thought I just had indigestion. I didn't know it was all that. All right, yeah, then.
Like, I was just eating some extra food, and they were like, yeah, we thought she was getting a little. Hey, leave my weight alone. I'm an elephant. but yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I felt like they have, I don't want to say mischaracterized, but I just feel like there was a lot of character assassinations kind of going on, and they made characters who I found to be very likable, even if they were morally gray or even if they were bad, they were interesting in the book. And like I said, the sea snake is very lovable in the book. Whether or not he's power grabbing or not, the pages of the book don't make that so apparently clear. But the show, they turn him into this power grabbing kind of like dick and like trying to sell his daughter off when she's 12 and all of these things. And it just, by the end of the show, I don't like him. By the end of the show, I'm like, can you just die? And
yeah.
And that sucks because the whole point of greenlighting a show about the sea snake would have been like, yo, this dude is so effing cool. But, and I'm sorry, like, I don't want to like say anything bad about like Steve Toussaint, you know, the guy who plays him, but I feel like there were opportunities for this character to be better. And I don't know if it was the writing or it was, I don't know what it was, but it just didn't work. And it makes me upset because.
I mean, it's similar to how you felt about Vicious.
Yeah.
The depiction of Vicious with Cowboy Bebop and how it was not. And mind you, this is not to say that you can't make anything different. Because again, you know, reimagining something for a different medium or, you know, or whatever, it's not the easiest thing to do. And especially trying to copy an anime is very difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all the sense of the word. So if you want to do something different, cool. But don't make the character arguably worse, though. That's the thing. Like, like if we put it on a piece of paper and like this is what these are the character's attributes, this is what makes him deep, interesting, funny, not funny, whatever the case may be, and you like, nah, I don't want none of that. Let's put these things in here that are like just atrocious. And I'm like, whoa. Like, it doesn't have to be my vicious, but not that one. Like, not that one either.
Definitely
like,
not that one.
Right? Like, that dude isn't. And what I mean by that is not so much. I'm not saying like vicious was more evil than I wanted him to be, or more backstabby, or whatever the case may be. His character didn't make me mad because he was evil. His character made me mad because I didn't like him at all in the universe. I'm trying to get that across. Like, it's not that he was kind of evil guy and then on the show they made him a really evil guy. No, he was just not likable at all. Like, good, bad, indifferent. I just didn't like him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I feel like that's what they're doing with, you know, some of these characters. And that's, like I said, that's tough. And, you know, it's obviously subjective, but we're right. That's what it's going to be. We're right. Speaking of characters, we also had there's been a bit of a change coming. Granted, this is not going to take effect right away, but Henry Cavill is not going to be Geralt in The Witcher anymore. And which is an interesting announcement considering that we're not even at season 3 yet. I want to say they started, you know, filming season 3.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be in season 3. He's not going to be in season 4.
Taking his place. Or 5 or 6 or 7.
Right. Taking his place is going to be Liam Hemsworth. I don't want to, how do you say this? I don't want to make it be or make it seem like I'm not happy with Liam, but I will say that Henry did such a good job as Geralt, especially if you played the video games and knowing how, like, Henry has a good, he's very good at being, what's the word?
You know, the internet has been trying to come up with words for this for some time.
Yeah, he's not it's not aloof. It's not, he's very emotionless.
He's supposed to be apathetic. And
he's very good at that. Like, and to a detriment in certain cases. And we're not going to get into Superman. But in certain cases, I'm like, I don't really like this. But as Geralt, it's perfect. And so I don't necessarily think that, I don't know if Liam is going to be worse or better than Henry. What I do know is that he's not going to be the same. He's just not. Yeah. I don't think he can play Geralt in the same manner, and I don't want him to try, because you're going to be compared anyways. People are making comparisons now, you know, and we've known Liam from like the Hunger Games and like a few other things, whereas, you know, Henry was Superman and Geralt. That's it. He's been in other things, obviously. He has a movie coming out pretty soon, but that's coming to Netflix. But in terms of like what we know his fandom from, it's basically Superman in this role. So it's like, Liam, you got some big shoes to fill, and I'm rooting for you, but I'm kind of like, I'm still gonna watch it, you know. And I just hope he makes it his own thing, and I hope that it's not to the point where we're just wishing that Henry was back. We kind of know why this is happening. I watched Black Adam, and so I'm not gonna, it's all over the internet at this point, but essentially Henry is gonna be playing Superman, and what I'm expecting is that, could, you know, that role, any type of collaborative role in, like, you know, Black Adam 2 or Shazam or whatever the case may be, plus the stuff that he has going on, that you know, the movies that he has coming out on Netflix and stuff like that, that having The Witcher, you know, be under his belt as well, was just too much. And then also there was a lot of physical, you know, there was some issues he had with being in the role. I remember reading that he got hurt at one point.
He got hurt filming Witcher 2,
exactly. And so being that is physically demanding, and his physique has to be different for Superman versus what it is here, I can imagine him being like, you know what, let's just stop at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause he has to get big and then small and then big again, you know, like, that's a lot of work.
Wait, does he have to get smaller for Superman or bigger?
He has to get bigger.
Like, he has to get bigger for Superman than he is for Geralt.
If you look at, my memory could be bad, but I remember him in like the Avengers, JLA, and how he was big, like him working out, being Superman, he's pretty big. And like Geralt, he's not a small guy, but his stature is more of a relaxed Henry. If you think of it like Chris Hemsworth playing Thor, right before a Thor movie, how he works out and he bulks up and he's huge. But then in another role, he's much smaller. He still has muscle, but not to the point of Thor. That's what it is with Superman, especially with him going potentially playing opposite of The Rock and how big he's gotten as of late. Yeah, he's going to bulk up. He's just going to. And so you can imagine trying to bulk up for whatever that is and then slimming back down or getting smaller for the role and then bulking up. Like, yeah. I can totally understand him stepping away. It's just unfortunate for whoever, I say whoever, like, is not Liam, but for whoever steps in the role, it's unfortunate because people are going to be like, you're not Henry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that sucks. I mean, again, I never know what's true on the internet. And a lot of times I just have a headache, so I can't really read. Right. I heard some drama in that he didn't like the way that the show was being adapted, so he stepped away. And I was like, oh, I mean, that makes sense too, because obviously what you're telling me right now with the training schedule, like that makes a lot of sense, because that's hard on your body. I mean, it takes people months to do stuff for certain movies. And if he has to be huge for this and then be small for this, and then they're doing yearly filming for Witcher, and like, you know, that's schedule, like that would be really hard no matter what. I mean, people don't know, like, actors work hard, okay? They do.
Oh, right, totally.
They do. These athletic actors, they got to do a lot, and so, like, yeah, that makes a lot more, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want to say it makes more sense, but it makes a lot of sense. And but yeah, I heard the drama that it was like, oh, the adaptations aren't going the way he wanted, and he asked them to stick to the source material, and they're not. That's what I saw on the internet. So I was like, look, I don't know what's real or not. I don't want to sit out here and spread misinformation and get flagged.
I mean, it's definitely, I mean, Henry is a bit of a nerd. I mean, there's the whole video of him building a PC going viral. So there's the potential for him to be like, hey, you know, stick to this source material. But again, I really, and this is someone who's a big nerd, especially for Marvel and just comics and anime and all this other good stuff. I understand the idea of sticking to source material, and I understand how difficult that is based on the medium. For instance, one of my favorite games, survival horror games, is Resident Evil. And through all the movies and adaptations and all the stuff that we have, there's been some decent ones, but there's never been a great, amazing, like, the best thing ever type film for this, because it's very difficult to adapt that video game to a film. There's just too many gamey elements that you don't think about when you're trying to make, when you're thinking about a film, it's like, oh, it's got to have the mansion. It's got to have the dogs that jump through the window, and it's got to have, you know, the tyrant who's huge with an arm that grows. And it's like, yeah, cool. But you realize that all this stuff was happening. The mansion itself has puzzles. Like, you have to put like a jewel in a dragon's eye to move a bookshelf, and like there's a lot of gamey stuff that just like view. Because honestly, the film won't be just for you. It's gonna be for people who don't know what Resident Evil is, and so going into it, it's gonna be like, what the hell? Why are we doing all this? Like, what is going on? I thought this was about zombies. Like, what is, you know? Like, it's not. It's very difficult. And so there has to be some, we have to give some leeway. Like, okay, it's not going to be exactly like the game. And honestly, I don't know why you would want that anyways, to be honest.
Yeah.
What we want though is just for you to do it justice, right? Like, you know, First Class Magneto isn't exactly the same as the comic book Magneto, but he's a good Magneto. So I will take him. You know,
yeah,
Heath Ledger's Joker.
Any day.
Right. Well, different reasons. But Heath Ledger, his Joker isn't exactly the Joker from even the animated show, the big 90s animated show that everyone loves.
Totally different.
With what's his name voicing the Joker? Like, totally different. But we like Heath's version. So we keep that, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. make it your own, but I guess try your best to be good. And that's a really loaded thing to say. I understand. But make it like,
try
okay,
your best not to be Rings of Power.
There you go. Don't suck. You know, just be whatever it is, lean all the way into it. And you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah. I'm looking forward to checking out The Witcher 3 and, you know, The Witcher 4, the seasons and whatnot, and seeing how it goes. Witcher 2, the second season was really good. You know, it's unfortunate that Henry's not going to be there. And again, that's not a shot at Liam. It's just, he did a good job.
I love you, Liam. I really do. But I have been obsessed with Henry Cavill since, like, I Capture the Castle and friggin', what's that movie? What's the movie from Alexander Dumas? Count of Monte Cristo, yeah. Like,
yes, yes.
I loved him ever since he was rosy cheeked. I mean, like, we're like the same. I'm in love with him. I mean, we know this. So
right.
I will take any opportunity to see him in a white wig. But he didn't say, you know, let me just be a side note. Okay, look, I do love me some Henry Cavill, but I'm sorry, Geralt. We got two problems. You need to take more baths. Okay, please take more baths. Just take more baths. That's all I'm asking for. I know he's a witcher and he gets dirty because he kills things, but I just need for you to do two things because I'm pretty sure he smells terrible. When you take your baths, just try washing your hair. One of those times, just try it. I want you to try it, and I want you to then report how you feel about that, Geralt, because I feel like he doesn't know what it means to have clean hair. I think he knows what it means to have mud and sludge and rocks in his hair, and he thinks that it's a look. He's like, this is a slay. And I'm like, slay all day, bro, but just, I don't know. Aftershave. I don't know.
We talked about the wigs with all the shows and how they need to, like, it's amazing how bad these wigs look sometimes.
They're so bad. What is with what's his name? Vesuvius. What is his name? The Witcher dude, the old guy.
Man, it's shoot.
Vermithor.
That guy.
But what is wrong with his wig? I was like, so the budget just dropped here. I mean, first of all, the budget y'all paid so much money to have Henry that you literally couldn't afford, like, decent actors in certain other roles. But, like, I just want to know what happened to the makeup team. What happened?
Just, I don't know. I'd be looking, especially if they have any black characters that aren't using their natural hair. I'm like,
yeah,
what happened here? Who let this happen?
I was like, Frangilla is like dressed up in this beautiful little outfit, and then y'all just stopped. You just said, this is how much weave we're giving. Like, it's only gonna be this much hair in the crown. I was like, why didn't y'all go full in? They clearly didn't have enough budget to buy two bundles of Yaki. They didn't have enough to buy two bundles of Kinky Curly. Like, what?
Type B? Mm-mm, we ain't got money for that.
Oh my God. I was like, it's not even human hair. It's Kinecolon. It costs. Ooh, it's 3 for $5 at the store. 3 for $5. Get it together. I wonder why I'm struggling in the workforce and I'm sitting here like, maybe I'm just doing the wrong thing. Maybe this is where I should be going.
Oh my goodness.
Get technical advisor.
Oh my gosh. The last thing we wanted to talk about, which is, this is saved for last because it's least of, like, I don't want to say importance because it is important, but it's like the least on my list of things I wanted to talk about. But I feel like we should, you know, address Elon taking over Twitter and how it's turning things into, I don't know how you make Twitter worse. Well, here's the thing. I didn't know how you could make Twitter worse. And then he started actively making Twitter worse. And so then I was like, oh, that's how you do that. That's a thing you do. Okay, cool. And, you know, we knew this was going to be kind of messy considering he tried to back out of the deal, which was, that was incredibly foolish of himself to put himself in that predicament. But then also how he's trying to charge, you know, to try to, because he wants to make money. You know, he spent $44 billion on this. So he's trying to make some of that money back, and he's not going to get it just through advertisement. And so what he's thinking is, oh, let me charge for the blue checks, which is bananas. Right. And I believe it was Stephen King who was like, I'm not paying for this. Because initially it was $20, $20 a month. And Stephen King was like, no, I'll just leave. And then he was like, how about eight, dog? How about eight? He literally $8. Said, how about eight? And dropped it to eight. And Stephen King went on to make fun of him. And I agree, because this idea, first of all, let me air this out myth-wise, right? The blue checks aren't meant to be some type of status quo in a sense of like, I'm above you, you're below me, etc. It doesn't make you any more important than the person who doesn't have a blue check. I just want to clear that up. Okay. Second thing, the blue checks are to verify people professionally. That's it. So basically, if like Obama tweets something, you know it's actually Obama and not another person that used his picture. And now the whole world is upside down because he's like, he said he's divorcing his wife. No, that ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? Or it's for people. There was one guy, and I forget his name, was talking about how he's a celebrity and that he doesn't really use social media. But someone pretending to be him was out there trying to recruit children for nefarious means and whatnot. And so he had to get a Twitter account and had to get it checked, you know, the blue check, so he could be like, look, if you didn't see it from here, it is not me. And that in terms of protecting people, right? And so he's like, all these things are coming to light, like why people are getting the blue checks and why they matter. Even when it comes to someone like me, you know, my excitement for having a blue check wasn't because I'm like, I'm better than everybody else. No, my excitement was that it made my job easier. And this is speaking as a minority. When you say you do something and there's like, you know, the white guy who's been doing it for years and then there's you, it's like, oh, I'm going to look at the white guy. That's just how it is. Same thing with men and women, especially if you're in the tech world. I'm going to look at the guy because I just expect the guy to know more than the woman. And what happens is when you get that check, it was like, oh, Twitter actually went through your work history. They verify who you are, you know, your ID and everything. But then they look through your articles, your word, your history, the work that you've done in the industry. And they're like, you know what? You should be able to speak on these things based on your profession. You are a professional. And so it's like, oh, now I have this blue check. Now I'll be able to do whatever. And that's actually what happened. Like I was able to write for IGN and other places before I got the blue check. But the short amount of time that I've had it, so many people have hit me up in my DMs. They have emailed me. They have tried to contact and be like, hey, we would like you to write for, you know, A, B, and C, because it's like, oh, there's some type of valid, you know, you've been validated in a way that we believe that you do what you do. And I remember telling this story a while back how I was asking for a review code for a video game that I was reviewing, and I had already received codes from Activision, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, you know, the big people. And this person was like, well, can you tweet from your account to make sure that you're you? And at first I was taken aback because I was like, how many people have you asked to do this? Because I know of white people that you didn't ask for this, you know, running around or whatever. But then I was like, you know what? I'll do it. Went ahead and tweeted them, and they gave me the code or whatever. And it was like, okay, you are who you say you are. Like, if anything, if something goes afoul, it's like, I could pull your Twitter account. I could be like, look, this guy said he was going to review something. He didn't. He sold the code, whatever the case may be. I have some type of ground to stand on outside of that because he didn't know me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to look at it. I'm going to be nice and look at it that way. That's what happened with the blue check. It was like, oh, I know I've seen you here and there, but the fact that Twitter was like, you're verified as a professional who writes professionally, I'm going to now be more inclined to work with you.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big up in the terms of like, I'm special. It just means that people now believe I, who I'm say I am. That's it. This is it. It makes that part of it easier, but it doesn't make life easier in the sense of like, I am now royalty and you are all peasants. That's not what that's about. And so the fact that he's like this whole peasant attitude and we're going to cut that down and we're going to do all this other stuff is asinine. It makes no sense. That's not what it's for. It's to make sure that people don't pretend to be other people and cause a whole bunch of stuff. I have friends who are in my industry who people tried to pretend to be them to get free stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like it didn't stop until they got the verified account. So now they just go straight to that account. They don't go anywhere else, you know?
Right.
And so for him to charge money for it, it's like, do you not understand what this, you don't understand what you bought. You don't understand what you're doing. And I feel like it's going to explode in hilarious fashion. And
it is. I agree.
You know what I mean? Right. And so I just feel like I should make mention of it because why not?
But, it's one of the most annoying things that has happened in the last several days. I mean, like, to the public at large. And because I was extremely irritated when I saw that. I literally saw Stephen King's post. And then just, obviously, Elon Musk being like, okay, $8. And people were like, wait a minute, you didn't even try to haggle? Like, he said he's not paying 20, so then you just dropped it to 8. And then you put all these memes out saying $8. And people were like, wait a minute, Stephen, this is on you. They're like, this is on you. Get him down to $2.99. Like, get him to $2.99. It was like ridiculous. But then I had to comment, like, I try not to comment on anything that Elon Musk posts because it's just annoying. But when he said this is to get rid of the trolls and the bots, and I said, but bots don't have verified accounts.
Exactly.
So how are we getting rid of bots by charging people who already have proven to be real? Like,
right.
I don't know of any bot account that I, like, no, seriously, after I comment, if I make a comment on some post that's popular, I get like 6 bots.
Yep.
The other day I had 6 it was literally 6 Japanese language bots follow me. All at the it was just one after another. Boop 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 boop. And I was like, I don't even remember commenting on it. I was like, did I comment on something that had to do with Naruto? Because I was like, I literally don't remember commenting on anything. And I was like,
Do not talk about K-pop. It's a rap.
It wasn't even that. Like, so I don't know what it was. And then all of a sudden, I had all of these bots follow me. And they're in that. So I translated because, you know, my Japanese is not that good. And I hit the translate button. And it was like, follow me. I've stopped working and I make all of my money doing this one thing. Click my link in bio. And I'm like, okay, this is what? How? I don't even know how it happened. And I'm sitting here like, the only thing that I've been commenting on lately is like, I don't know, Amber Heard's trial, like, or, you know, reading. I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, wait a minute, this is weird. But anyway, outside of that, So I don't feel that bots are out here getting blue checks. And so I just don't, I just feel like, you know, Elon is, I don't know, he likes attention and he just kind of like does really weird stuff to get it. And he says stuff that doesn't make any sense or that's unverifiably true. I mean, unverifiably, what am I saying? Verifiably false.
There you go.
And man, brain injuries they're just not fun. So, I'm as a sensical person or sensible person, I'm just like, okay, can you please explain your logic? Because I'm telling you right now that your logic is flawed. So can you help me?
His logic is I paid a ridiculous amount of money for something that isn't necessarily worth this amount of money, and I need a way to make money back.
Make the money back.
So I'm gonna squeeze the logic until it's no longer logical. That's essentially what's happening. It makes he doesn't know. He doesn't. I feel like this idea that he's a very smart person doesn't really. It's not true. It's
not true.
Business sense. I can't even say that anymore because look what just happened. You know, but
no.
It's not what you think with him, and he's proving it. He's proving it in real time with the stuff that he's tweeting. Yeah. And this idea that, like, I hate the people who are like, I'm sorry, I don't hate them. I hate the notion that it's only $8. You don't understand. There's some things that are principled. There are certain things that morally aren't right. And then there's also safety reasons why these things shouldn't be charged. If anything, continue the Twitter blue mess where we charge us for an edit button that should have been there from day one. Or, you know, there's so many other things we could do versus firing most of the staff that knew what they were doing and rolling back features that shouldn't be rolled back and, you know, charging for things and, you know, potentially taking away, like, government. Are you taking away government officials' blue checks? Like, it's just so many weird things that you're doing. And the way that news travels, the fact that it travels so much faster on Twitter than it does anywhere else, it's not a safe thing to do. Like, there's just so many problems with this idea. And I'm like, wow, bruh.
It is really crazy that you know, he had to do this immediately, because we all know we're not stupid. We all know that this was a money thing.
Right.
That, like, you had, like, this is a guy who literally, what do they say on the internet? They're like, he bought Twitter because people on the internet made him do it. You know, it was like, buy it. And I don't know if I should feel sorry for him because he's, you know, public about his Asperger's, but I also don't feel sorry for him because he's kind of a douche. And I don't think that he's generally in the public eye being a positive person. Like, there's all this news about the things he's done. Like, he threatened Tesla workers to not unionize or whatever. And
the whole claim of him being, you know, having the racist stuff that's going on in Tesla. Like,
like just pushing it under the rug. And it was like, this person literally is saying that they're having, you need to investigate these things, and just being like, oh, it's nothing. And then the things that he says on Twitter, which are just ridiculous. And it's like, I don't know if you're doing this for attention. I don't know. Like, I myself have my own disability, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have a platform. But I'm just wondering, I'm like, does your disability affect the way that you communicate with others in this manner? And I would love to know that. I would doubt it too, because I don't think that people should be hiding behind and be like, oh, well, I have this, so this is why. I'm like, well, I think you can still be effective communicator with assistance and whatever, man. But I just don't know. I'm like, there's something wrong with you. There's literally just something wrong with you. And you're out here on Twitter, like, putting out a lot of, like, false stuff. And then sitting here saying we can't make money on advertisers alone. What do you think Twitter had been making money off of all this time?
And to be fair, they're never, like, super profitable at all. But you understand that he should understand that what made people come to Twitter is the fact that you had all these, the people with the blue checks. Let's be honest. Twitter is great in terms of people who, like, I'm just a fan, or I'm just a whatever, I'm going on Twitter. And then you have the people who are like, I'm using this as a tool for professional things. And then another layer are celebrities, government officials, stuff like that, who, when they say something, is impactful. And so it's like, oh, I want to be around those people because I want to see what they say about this. I want to see what, even if it's something silly, like, I want to see what The Rock thinks about this particular wrestling event. So I'm going to go on Twitter because he's actively speaking on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Having Stephen King on Twitter makes more people come to Twitter who are fans of Stephen King. So if you alienate those people and they all leave, like, all of them, then I'm not saying that everybody will leave Twitter, but a large amount of people will leave because they're not there to use it as a tool to further a career. They're there because that's where the conversation's happening. And once those people are gone, there's no longer conversation. You're just going to have the people who use it for a tool. But then if the audience is gone, like, if I post my work and there's no one there to see it because they're initially there for Stephen King, but they also like my work, it's like, boom, I have to go somewhere else then. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's reasons why. Like, I have an Instagram account that I post rarely to, because the people who are there, though they like seeing what I post, they aren't looking necessarily for my written stuff all the time. And that's the only reason, outside of, you know, the verses, is the only reason I got the thing. It was because I'm using it as a tool. Like, this is the thing that I'm using to get to other places. So if Twitter is no longer doing that, it's like, well, why am I here? You know, like, he's not thinking, like, it's a free thing. That freedom, which is hilarious considering he's so big on free speech, but he's charging for it in a way. That freedom goes away, then people leave. It's one reason why most of the stuff on Facebook that you can do are not charged for. The verification on Facebook is you don't pay for that.
Yeah. Like,
they know that. All the other apps, and from as much as I can tell, all know that. Why are you doing that? Like, it's just asinine. But like I said, it's something big that's happening in the world of whatever. And we actually use the platform. And so I felt like we should talk a little bit about it, but I feel like the people who are listening, for the most part, will agree with us anyways. So I'm not going to belabor the topic, but it's asinine. Just want to throw that in there. Just really
like,
asinine.
Hey, next time you want to, you know, boast online about buying something and say that you can do it better, and then you literally do it, and then you realize it's a bad deal and you want to pull out, but you already signed a whole bunch of papers that said you have to do this. If you don't, you owe us more money than what you owe us if you just buy it. Like, maybe next time don't do that. Maybe next time eat a Snickers if you're in a bad mood. Like, Snickers
right.
will help.
Like, put the phone, give the phone to someone, give it to an assistant, let someone else tweet for you, like a lot of celebrities do. Like, don't
Anywho,
that has been our show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We had a great time. I hope you had a great time. Feel free to, if you're listening on YouTube, to sub and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all those different places, feel free to subscribe there and add us to your RSS feeds so you know when the new episodes are coming out. Definitely follow us on Twitter. Follow the Gamecast at the Gamecast One so you know what's happening. We have some more guests lined up that we will hopefully get to before the end of the year. But if we don't, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen eventually. I would love to talk to Henry. I would love to, you know, someone put a plug.
No, wait, what? We can get what? I have to do my makeup.
Right.
I have to be on video for
No,
I don't even want to do it, but we can talk. I can't. I know he has a girlfriend, but I can't do that. I can't, because like that would be like, wait a minute. So celebrity crush of like 30 years later.
So yeah, I'm really pushing for it now. I am going to be shooting shots all over the place. Pause.
Oh my God.
And see what we can do. But yeah, I would like to talk to him. And there's other people that I've mentioned, either on Twitter or here, that I would like to talk to, because I think they have interesting insight into things that we don't necessarily, you know, align with them. Like, everybody knows for the most part that Cardi B likes anime, but how much does she like anime? And I don't mean that in a way of like, prove to me you're a fan of anime type stuff, because she could watch My Hero and that's it, and she's an anime fan to me. However, if she does have a, you know, a deep knowledge of anime, I would like to talk about it and like what some of the things that she likes outside of music. I'm pretty sure she would like to talk about something outside of music. So
yeah, she loves President. Like,
see, I would like for her to come and talk about that, you know? So
yeah, that'd be
I'm
great.
Definitely going to be shooting for other, you know, big guests, and why not? And we'll see. But you won't know unless you subscribe and actually follow. Because we had David F. Sandberg on here. We've had Scott Derrickson on here.
We had some...
Big names in terms of entertainment, whether it be in game development or in just, you know, being an entity on, whether it be, you know, Twitch or whatever the case may be, other writers like me, and, you know, there's some future people that I can't talk about right now. So like, yeah, we had a lot of people on and we want to continue that. So yeah, like I said, follow, subscribe and all that good stuff, and retweet. Retweets are good.
Yes. Yes. Please do all of those things. And also remember, most importantly, wash your hands and your faces and your butts. Hashtag don't be a dick. Hashtag be kind. In fact, hashtag don't be a Matt Perry.
Right. What was that about?
I don't know. And you know, I'm just side noting here. You know, I didn't say on Twitter what I meant to say. I texted you what I wanted to say. I didn't go as far to say that on Twitter because I'm not a dick.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know what that is about. Look, shout out Keanu Reeves. You can come on the show. You're one of the nicest people in the world, as far as we know. So like, you ain't deserve that. That's not cool.
Right.
But yeah. So anyway, yeah. So don't be a dick, guys, and be kind. And yeah, hopefully we will see you guys next week. And yeah, that's it. Bye-bye.